In 2020, when lockdown restrictions were introduced to contain the spread of COVID, libraries, along with other community facilities and most shops, had to shut their doors. At first, most people were adjusting to wearing face masks and Zoom meetings to notice. But after a few weeks, the absence of books started to be keenly felt. Parents struggled to entertain their children. Students missed their quiet places to study. Older people missed having a free public space to sit in. In one town in Yorkshire, a 16-year-old Layla started a small book exchange outside her front door. Just a box with a handwritten sign, "Take one, leave one." Over time, it started to catch on. Books began to circulate, novels, cookbooks, textbooks. People wrote notes in the margins. It became a silent, shared conversation. Without access to libraries, the community realized how much they relied on books, not just for information, but for escape and connection. When the town's library finally reopened, it wasn't taken for granted anymore. We read a few verses earlier that Jesus went to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Then he returned to Nazareth, his hometown. Today, Nazareth is the largest Arab city in Israel. Then, it was a small village where everyone would have known Jesus. In fact, it may be assumed that some of them, or several of them, may have been related to him through Mary. A realization of this context helps us to appreciate more fully the significance of Jesus' reading of Isaiah's prophecy concerning himself in what may have been the only synagogue in the village. At first, people in the Nazareth synagogue are impressed by the words Jesus speaks to them. From all the books in the library that is the Old Testament, he reads a poetic passage. Like the finest actors or the best readers or preachers in our churches, he makes the words of Isaiah's prophecy come to life. We're told that they are amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. But there's a change of mood as the full meaning of what he is claiming sinks in, that he is the one referred to in the prophecy. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. This is too much for the people who've seen him grow up, knowing him as Joseph's son. Later, they become so incensed that they drive him out and even try to hurl him from a cliff. Now, those of us who have been to Israel know that there's a very, very high hill in Nazareth and a very steep drop. So it would have been dreadful, but of course it didn't happen. Today's gospel is often referred to as the Nazareth Manifesto. By claiming to fulfill this prophecy, Jesus is setting out his own manifesto, his mission statement, to bring good news. But is also revealing his identity. In him, the words come to life because Jesus is the living word. And yet, to his listeners, this doesn't make sense. Readers today know the backstory. We've read books that weren't available to Jesus' listeners. We know that when Jesus was baptized by John, the Holy Spirit had indeed descended upon him, staying with him as he endured the temptations in the wilderness. More than that, we know the story of the birth of Jesus. We know that although Jesus was born as a human baby into a human family, he was in fact better qualified than anyone to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In him, as God incarnate, the Word made flesh, the prophecy really came to life, because in him, all scripture has been fulfilled. And as we know, too, about his death and resurrection, to us it does make sense. The Bible is a vital and life-saving part of being a Christian. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." In other words, to walk safely in the woods at night, we might need a light, so we won't trip over tree roots or fall into holes. In this life, we walk through a dark forest of evil, but the Bible can be our light to show us the way ahead, so we won't stumble as we walk. It reveals the entangling roots of false values and the snares of wrong living. The point is clear. Reading the Bible is part of our lives. God directs and leads us through his word, as he does through creation and human life. Verse 18 and 19 define Jesus' nature, motivation, and ministry, but also provide us with our own mission statement. In our hands, the good news is still as good, and with the same power that Jesus had. We are called to fulfill his ministry of freedom and favor to those who are in need. Thought you'd like to know that I have written in my Bible about these verses, Jesus' blueprint for his ministry. In Shakespeare's play Hamlet, Polonius asks Hamlet what he's reading. The prince's response is, "Words, words, words." By contrast, our faith is based on the creative word of God and on the word incarnate, Jesus Christ. Not just the written words of scripture, wonderful though they are. Prince not of Denmark, but of peace. Jesus offers us peace if we view the Bible through the lens of his teaching and example. In him, the words can indeed make sense. His ministry, his sacrifice, and his resurrection can all deliver good news to all. This all sounds so easy, doesn't it? But of course, we are human with all the ups and downs of life. I was deeply challenged by Emlyn's talk last Sunday. And when I chatted to him after the service, he reassured me of God's grace, God's rescue or riches at Christ's expense. Wonderful, just remember that. Each of us faces challenges all the time. Just think of the areas in our lives which cause us to stumble. Family, professional, physical, spiritual, psychological, social, cultural, and the rest. The Bible has help and inspiration within its pages. Just look at the Psalms and Paul's letters for starters. We must choose to accept grace that helps us to reach our potential for Christ. Grace helps us to grow, but we must actively engage with it to experience real spiritual development. We live in uncertain times with wars and disasters flooding our TV screens and social media devices. Who can we trust? Who can we believe? With factions in our churches trying to change scripture. The only one is Jesus and his word. We need to be guided by the Holy Spirit to know right from wrong. I always think of the Bible as God's love story for the world. It is packed full of hope, warnings, guidelines, and above all, love. Some of it is very hard reading. There's every aspect of human life within its pages, from murder, robbery, and redemption. Family breakdowns, but also there's advice, reconciliation, and redemption. There's a variety of versions we can choose from and Bible notes to help us to read it. I believe there is or was a selection at the back. Just ask Mandy, sorry to put you in that position, Mandy, who collects them for us from Green Pastures, or speak to one of our worship leaders. On Bible Sunday, the scriptures are acknowledged for their variety, including drama, history, and poetry. Even more than a library, even more than a Shakespeare play, the Bible contains it all. But we remember above all else that our Creator did not become incarnate in a book, any book, but in a life. A life as relevant in modern times as it was in Nazareth that day. A life of loving service. Amen.